This is a discussion about sales returns, a part of the VCE Accounting Course Unit 4. Sales returns. This is when the debtor returns stock back to the business. The debtor is returning stock back to the business. The VCE course excludes cash returns. So even though you might have in the real world a cash customer coming back and wanting a return because there's something wrong with the stock, that's excluded from the VCE course. So we have a debtor, that's your debtor customer, returning stock back to the business. Why would this happen? Well, it's probably due to damage. And it's a part of the management's responsibility to work out the source of the damage, because if there's a trend, it has to identify how it's been, how this damage is occurring, and try and remediate the problem. So, is the damage occurring before it arrives at the business? For example, you might be getting it from a supplier, and it's faulty at the point of the supplier. There might be some damage occurring along the way, that is, in the delivery process from the manufacturer or supplier to you, the business. There might be some problems there in the delivery that has to be investigated. Or it could be that your dispatch crew and at your business, when they're wrapping and packing and when they're sending it off to their customers, they are creating damage by their way in which they treat the stock. So it's for sales returns, it's important for management to identify the reason for the return, particularly if it's happening on a regular basis, to try and remediate the problem, to try and work out what's causing the problem and do something about it, because sales returns are not good for business. Sales are great. Sales increase revenue. Sales increase your profit. Sales means that sometime in the future, usually 30 days, you'll get a check in the mail from your debtor. So sales are great. Sales returns are not great. Sales returns are bad. They're a negative thing for a business. Sales returns reduce your revenue, reduce your profit, and it means that in the future you will be receiving less cash from your debtor. So you have to work out what the reason is for the sales return and try and stop that happening in the future. Anyway, so we have a situation where the debtor is returning the stock to the business. It's probably due to damage. The management needs to work out exactly how that's caused. There might be other reasons. It could be that, for example, the debtor ordered a particular type of stock and your dispatch crew wrapped up the wrong stock, and so the debtor just simply wants a replacement for the right stock. No matter how or what the reason for the return, there has to be some documentary evidence to record the transaction, and that's a credit note. A credit note is the document which is the evidence for the sales return. It's produced by the business and sent to the debtor. So the business's name will appear on the top and the debtor's name will appear somewhere else on the document. The business will have a copy of the credit note, and the debtor or the customer, of course, will get the original. Before the return happens, of course, there'll probably be some sort of discussion, conversation, might be an email, be some sort of conversation between the parties before return is authorized. But let's assume it's authorized. The stock comes back to the business, a credit note is issued, it's sent off to the debtor as a record or to verify that that transaction has just been approved and has occurred. This stock coming back to the business has to be recorded in the stock card. Stock coming back comes back in, so it goes into the in column of the stock card, and that's of course means that the balance will go up. So stock returns, sales returns means stock card is recorded in the in column and the balance column goes up. Now normally that won't be a problem, there'll be just a set price, there won't be any decisions to be made, but it's possible that you'll have to apply FIFO, or in fact reverse FIFO, if there is a sales returns depending on what's been returned. So with sales returns and FIFO, the order, or the best way to do it, is to look at the out column first. Look at the out column first and look at the most recent sale in the out column. That most recent sale in the out column is going to be the first one that comes back in for the sales return. So the most recent sale in the out column is the first one to come back in for the sales return. And if there's more than one unit, then you just work backwards through the out column to establish which stock is coming back in. Reverse FIFO, the most recent sale is re-established first, and then the second most recent sale, the third most recent sale, if there's multiple units coming back in. Look in the out column first, then do the sales returns based on the most recent sales from that out column. Okay, and of course, that will lead the same thing to an increase in the balance column because stock has come back in. Sales returns recorded not only in the stock card but also in the journals. And even though some businesses in the real world would have a separate sales returns journal, not a particularly good thing because you don't want sales returns or lots of sales returns as a business, and having a separate sales returns journal suggests that these types of transactions occur frequently. But the VCE course specifies that sales returns will be recorded in the general journal. And this is one of the most complex journal entries in the entire course. And you do have to have a little bit of practice at getting this one right. So you need a piece of paper and a pen and just to write it out quite a few times just to try to get an understanding of the entries involved. It might be worth remembering that with a sales returns, just like a sale, we have to account for the selling price of the sale and the cost price of the sale. Sales returns, the same thing. We have to account for the selling price of the sales returns and the cost price of the sales returns. So that's why there's a lot of entries involved. There's a couple of different ways you can do it. One way is to first of all do the selling price entries and then the cost price entries. I'll do that one first. So if you're going to do the selling price entries first, you would debit an account called sales returns. This is a new ledger account, sales returns, to acknowledge the fact that there's stock being returned. Now, it's possible that you could debit the sales account instead of having a sales returns account. But by convention, we use a sales returns account to acknowledge or record the sales returns, not debit the sales account. I suppose it's just like drawings. With drawings, we could debit capital, but we don't. We debit drawings because it provides more information, it's more meaningful, and that's the conventional way of recording drawings. Same thing for sales returns. You don't debit sales, you debit sales returns, and this account is classified as a negative revenue. So debit sales returns, that'll be the amount excluding GST, and you debit the GST clearing
and debit
GST associated GST with the return.
Clearing, so
debit sales returns
for the GST component
excluding GST. Then we would credit debtors control in the credit column, and we would credit the individual debtor concerned. So debtors control is credited with a full amount including GST, and the individual debtor is also credited in the subsidiary ledger columns. So we've just covered the selling price effects of the sales return, debited sales returns, debited GST clearing, credited debtors control, and we've credited the individual debtor. But we also have to record the cost price effect of the sales return. Sales returns means that stock control has gone up, so we have to debit stock control, whatever the value is, and credit cost of sales, 1,000. So debit stock control, credit cost of sales. This is the cost effect of the sales return. Cost of sales is credited because the original debit when we had the sale has now been cancelled out. So the credit to cost of sales cancels out that original debit entry when the sale was made. So that was a huge entry. We had debit sales returns, debit GST clearing, credit debtors control, credit the individual debtor, and we also debited stock control and credited cost of sales. Remember both the selling price effect and the cost price effect of the return. Some students prefer to just combine all the debits and then do all the credits instead of splitting up the selling price effects and the cost price effects. It doesn't matter which way you do it. If you do it this second way, it would be debit sales returns, debit GST clearing, debit stock control, and then you would credit the debtors control, you would credit the individual debtor, and you would credit the cost of sales. I'll say that again. If you like to do all the debits first and then all the credits without splitting up the selling price effect and the cost price effect, you would debit sales returns, debit GST clearing, debit stock control, then you would credit debtors control, and you would credit the individual debtor in the subsidiary ledger columns, and you would credit the cost of sales account as well. Of course, whichever way you do it, don't forget the narration, include the document, unless it says narration not required. You do need a lot of practice with this particular entry. This is one of the most complex entries of all, and it's very commonly assessed by the examiners. Do it in both the general journal format and also, of course, in the general ledger and the subsidiary ledger. Let's have a think about the accounting equation and how sales returns impacts on the accounting equation. Assets equals liabilities plus owner's equity. Assets. The debtor has returned the stock, so there is a decrease in the value of the debtor. Debtor's control goes down by the full value of the return, including GST. However, stock goes up because we've just received our stock back from the debtor. So decrease in debtor's control and an increase in stock control. So you'll have to work out the net change. So there'll be a net decrease, but you'll have to work out the value. So if in doubt, show the calculations. Decrease debtors, increase stock control, work out the net change. Liabilities, GST is going to be reduced, decrease in the GST. If you think about it, there's going to be a debit entry to the GST clearing for the return. When the sale was originally made, the credit sale, that would have been recorded on the credit side of the account, GST clearing. Now that the sale has been returned, we have to cancel out that original credit entry, so we debit the GST clearing account, therefore decreasing the liability. So liabilities, a decrease due to a debit entry in the GST clearing account. Owner's equity, this is quite complex as well, because with owner's equity, we have to take into account the effect on the revenue and the expenses. Revenue is going to be reduced by the value of the sales return. Sales returns is a negative revenue. So revenue or net revenue will decrease, and that of course will cause a decrease in profit. But we have to also remember that there's been a reduction in the cost of the sales. The cost of the sales has been reduced by the return. So once again, you have to work out a net change in owner's equity. It'll always be a decrease, but the value of that decrease will depend on the value, of course, of the sales returns and of the change in the cost of sales. So that's complicated. Sales returns reduces profit, but there's a positive effect on owner's equity in that there's a reduction in the cost of sales. Work out the net change, that's the impact on owner's equity. So in summary there, assets, there will be a net decrease, but it's due to a decrease in debtors control and an increase in stock control. Liabilities, there'll be a decrease in the GST clearing, and the owner's equity, you'll have to work out a net change because there's going to be a decrease in the revenue, but there's going to be a decrease in the cost of sales. So work out the net change and show that. The reports, cash flow statement. Remember, the VCE course has returns been restricted to debtors, returns from debtors, so we're not talking about cash returns, so there's no direct impact on the cash flow statement from sales returns. They're not recorded in the cash flow statement. The profit and loss statement, there is an impact. Visualize in your mind a profit and loss statement. Revenue, then you have sales. From now on, there'll quite often be less sales returns underneath sales. So you have sales, less sales returns to show a net figure. Sales, less sales returns to show a net figure. Net sales, sometimes that little title is actually recorded. It says net sales, sometimes it isn't. But there will always be a reduction in the sales figure if there are sales returns. And that provides the stakeholders with more meaningful information, provides makes them more understandable, I suppose. It makes them more relevant because the stakeholders can see that there's been a change in the sales because of the sales returns, and that can be tracked over time. So profit and loss statement, there will be an effect. It's less sales returns. And of course, there's going to be an impact also on the cost of sales. The cost of sales figure that's in the profit and loss statement comes from the ledger account cost of sales. In that ledger account, there would have been an impact from the sales returns. And that net figure from the ledger account goes into the profit and loss statement. So cost of sales is a net figure which includes the effect of the return. So you don't say cost of sales less the adjustment for our sales return, because the cost of sales figure will already have included the impact of the return in the ledger account, which is then put into the trial balance, which is then used in the profit and loss statement. So that sounds a bit complicated, doesn't it? Visually, the only difference you'll see is it's sales less sales returns. There is an effect on cost of sales, but you don't have to write anything next to cost of sales, because that cost of sales figure has already been reduced or adjusted by the sales return in the ledger account. Balance sheet, sales returns will affect, of course, the balance of the debtors control account. It will reduce the value of debtors because the return stock would be affected as well, because there's been an increase in stock due to the return. We've talked about that before. The liabilities are affected because GST clearing has been decreased. And of course, there's an impact on the owner's equity, because sales returns reduces revenue, and it also reduces the expense cost of sales. So there's a net impact on the owner's equity. It'll always be a decrease. So that'll be shown in the balance sheet as well. So the balance sheet effects are debtors, stock, GST clearing, and the owner's equity is affected by the net impact of the sales returns and this change to the cost of sales. This is the end of our discussion on sales returns.